Keith, it's good to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Jeremy.
Now, tell me this. I was reading something about you in the music press, and it said that the way you got your recording contract, and we weren't sure if you really did this, so this was a bit of top spin from your record company, was that you camped out on the streets, and then when the A&R guys, the artist and repertoire guys, came into the record company, you were on the streets hustling and trying to get a record contract from them. Is that true?
Basically, yes.
What did you do?
Well, I had... been introduced to a few of those people from performing in my local area outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and had an a cappella group. When I found out where these A&R guys were, I just proceeded to be persistent, I guess.
And so you were waiting outside the record company and collaring them every morning as they went into work, were you?
Well, they weren't record companies at that point. They were basically just individuals who had bands that they were producing.
And did you have this record already done as a demo?
No. This was done maybe a couple of years down the road from meeting these people.
Right. And how quickly, then, was your rise to success off the back of all of that?
Well, as the story goes, I recorded my first song for Jerry Ross, who was the producer of a song called Ain't Gonna Lie, which was the first song that we did together. We recorded that around St. Patrick's Day in 1966, and then I just went off, and like a year later, I heard it on the radio and had lost touch with Mr. Ross, and Mercury, he had since gone from being an independent A&R guy to getting a job with Mercury in New York, and they couldn't find me. So I ended up calling Mercury in Chicago, and they said, "Where have you been?" And put me on a plane and flew me to Chicago, and that was the beginning of the whole deal. And then about 6 months later, we went in and recorded 98.6.
That is a lovely little rags-to-riches story.
It is.
Isn't it? Where were you? Where were you when you heard your record on the radio exactly? Where did you hear it on the radio?
In the suburbs of Philadelphia, where I had put a band together and was doing record hops for the disc jockeys on the particular stations.
And you just heard yourself coming out the radio thinking, I recorded that like a year ago.
Exactly.
And you didn't know until that point.
That's correct.
What a way to find out. And were you already going up the charts at that stage?
Yes. Well, back then, you know, they played like 100 songs a day, you know, I would hear it infrequently, and I'd say, that's me. And at this one point, I had I was performing at a record hop with my band, and I was notoriously late. And I came in, and it was a guy named Jerry Wright, and I was about a half hour late. He goes, "Where have you been? We've been waiting, you know." And I said, "Hey, you know, you're playing a song that I recorded on your station." And he said, "Yeah, that's a lot of crap. Just get up there and perform."
He was a forthright man, Keith, wasn't he?
Yes.
He told it as it was.
That's right.
Now, why did the... I mean, you were only known as Keith, because your real name is James Barry Kiefer, K-E-E-F-E-R, isn't it?
Correct.
So where did the Keith bit come from? Why did you just go for that handle?
Well, all of the bands that I had, a cappella and instrumental, were called Keith, K-E-I-F, which was the derivative of Kiefer, and Keith and the such and such, and when my record started coming out, and they said, we can't use Keith because it's a Moroccan drug, which I wondered because it was the 60s, and what's wrong with that?
That'd have helped sales. You'd have done great with that.
So anyway, they decided, they said...
You'd be back on the Jimmy Savile show.
That's right. What fun that was. On that particular show, by the way, the Hollies were on.
Yeah.
We kind of, in rehearsing, hooked up, and Tony Hicks said, "We'd love to write a song for you." And I said, "Well, that's fabulous." And they took a guitar, and it was in the afternoon before the actual show was airing. And they went in the bathroom about 20 yards away, Alan Clark and Graham Nash, and came out 20 minutes later with Tell Me to My Face.
Goodness me.
Which was another release that I had.
Do you when you were over in this country, did you not meet up with Paul McCartney, who said, "Hey, that's a really good record," or something?
Yes, at the Bag of Nails, which was a club at that point where they would come and hang out after they were working on Sergeant Pepper. I was in the loo, and John Lennon was on one side of me.
Never.
Staring at me, going, "That's right, I'm John Lennon, I'm John Lennon." And went over to the sink, washed my hands. Paul came up, and we were using the sink together, and he asked me what I was doing. And I said, promoting a song that I had out. And he asked me what it was. I said, 98.6. And he said, what a fabulous song.
How surreal is that? You got John Lennon, you know, one urinal, Paul McCartney washing his hands.
Right.
You sure you weren't doing hallucinogenic substances at this point? Is this a true story?
No, this is all true.
Well, that's amazing. I'm John Lennon. Good job you didn't shake the guy's hand. That's all I can say to you, Keith. Yeah, the good job you didn't do. Now, 98.6, a couple of people have rung us in with different explanations. Somebody says it's the call numbers for an American radio station, and somebody said, no, it's the human body pressure, temperature.
Yes, it is. The body temperature of a human being.
And give me the line, Keith. Give me the little line, the little a cappella line.
Hey, 98.6, it's good to have you back again. Oh, hey, 98.6, your loving is the medicine that saved me. Oh, I love my baby.
You've still got it. You've still got it, Keith. It's still there. It could have been the single that was playing there for a second ago. And was that a hit in America, or was it just a hit over here?
Oh, no, it was huge here.
It was big. And what about the rest of the world? How well did it do there?
I have copies of it from Spain, from Australia, from Japan. So it was big all over the world.
Did you have to record it in foreign languages then, or...?
No, never did.
So it was just released in English?
Yes.
Because sometimes the record companies put a lot of pressure on the artists to really push sales, to do do it in French or give us a Spanish version or something like that.
Right. I never had that opportunity. But on eBay, I pick up, copies of it from all over the world. So.
And what about now, Keith? Are you still involved in the music industry, or what are you doing now?
Well, as we speak, my son is putting together a backing band, and we're getting ready to do a thing called the Before I Croak Tour.
Well, how old are you now?
I just turned 60 wonderful years old.
How many years do you think you've got left?
Oh, another 20 at least.
Well, you're a bit premature with the tour then.
Well, it's just a name.
then you'll have you'll have the comeback tour. Are you going to milk this till you get to your 90s?
Oh, of course.
You know? So you're doing the Before I Croak Tour. What else is happening?
I have an agent for acting, and I've been dabbling in that.
Aren't you involved in this Crown Court sort of Judge Judy program?
Yes, I've been working on that for. I've been in the TV business for about 15 years now, totally immersed. I work on Dr. Phil. We start our fourth season next month. Judge Judy, we've been doing for 10 years now, and still going strong. It's just been fun.
Well, Keith, I really appreciate it, because I know you stayed up till like 3:30 or something in the morning there in California.
It reminds me of the old days.
Well, we're just, it's good to reminisce, Keith.
Well, Jeremy, I appreciate you remembering.
Well, it's been really good to have you on the show, and I really appreciate you staying up that long, because that's a big sacrifice, and you've been a great guest. So good luck, sir, with all your new ventures.
Thank you, my friend.
And before you go, just give me the line one more time.
Hey, 98.6, it's good to have you back again. Oh, hey, 98.6, her loving is the medicine that saved me. Oh, I love my baby.